Calling all lovers of mystery and fans of a good story. If you haven't already heard me talk about June's journey, you're in for a treat. It's time to don your detective hat in this free hidden object mobile game that delves into the captivating journey of June Parker, a self-proclaimed detective on a quest to unravel the mystery surrounding her sister's untimely death. In June's journey, you get to play as June, deciphering clues and unveiling secret plots within thousands of beautifully illustrated scenes. And did I mention it's set in the glitzy 1920s? New chapters are added weekly, so you will never run out of new thrills to uncover, and you can also personalize and decorate your very own Orchid Island where the story takes place. How sharp are your detective skills? Find out when you download June's Journey on your Android or iOS device, or play online via Facebook Games. Your detective journey awaits.
Are you thinking about getting into Dungeons & Dragons? Maybe you're looking to expand your horizons as a DM or a player. If that's the case, then it's time for you to check out The Dungeon Cast, the best D&D podcast out there that helps you passively learn all about the game just by listening. Join co-hosts Will and Brian as they break down the lore of a rich multiverse 50 years in the making in a lighthearted and beginner-friendly way. They cover everything from character creation options to tips for Dungeon Masters. There's something for everyone, no matter how long you've been playing TTRPGs. Find The Dungeon Cast anywhere you get podcasts or on YouTube.
Welcome to Fireteam Chat, IGN's Destiny Show. Thank you so much for joining us. I'm your host, CJ Gibson, along with Fran Mirabella.
Hey, Guardians.
Stephen Rue.
Hey.
And Destin Legarry, Sean Finnegan, away for just today's episode. So we'll be make sure to have them back next week on today's show, talking a little bit about some of the PvP details that landed. Bungie had a live stream showing off a lot of new PvP changes. We're here to discuss some of those things. Well, they've added a bunch of things to the game. They've also removed certain elements. We'll talk about how those impact the future of the sandbox. As well as a new trailer, The Dreaming City, just dropped with some minor but cool story potential details. We'll discuss those as well. Remember, you can support Fireteam Chat by watching it here first on IGN.com. It will then be available on YouTube and podcast services 24 hours later. All right, so the PvP sandbox update. We saw it. There's a lot of big changes. Feels like we're maybe going back in time a little bit. A lot of Destiny 1, maybe. I think I felt some fuzzy feelings there from Destiny 1 gameplay moments. What about you guys? Specifically, let's talk PvP, because that's mostly what the sandbox update was about.
Yeah, it's weird. It's funny to hear you say that, because I definitely started to get the, oh, we're finally fixing everything, bringing it back to where it was. At the same time, I was like, wow, some of this is a little wild. Like these new ammo economies, different slots. I was trying to go over it with Steven, actually, before the show. I was just like rubbing my temples, like, wait, do I have this right? It's not got a burn on it, so it goes here. And it's not too bad once you process this new world, but yeah. At the very least, I'm excited about it. And yeah, it's got some Destiny 1 vibes. Just thinking of rocking a fusion in the energy slot, I'm pretty excited about it.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think for me as well, too. Now, Steven, we watched it together, actually, during it. There were moments where you and I were like, no way. I think specifically for me, you know, we're going to talk two melees and a bunch of other things. What were some major things that stood out for you when you were watching it?
Special ammo weapons are back, like Fran was touching on earlier. You spawn with special ammo now, so you can use your favorite guns, such as snipers, shotguns, things like that. And you can use triple shotguns, triple snipers, triple grenade launchers, crazy builds like that. So it's going to be interesting to see how the sandbox changes.
Yeah, not triple everything, right? But some things.
Yeah, like you can't go triple sword, you can't go triple rocket launchers, and I don't think you can go triple bow. Maybe you can.
I don't know if they've confirmed it all, but yeah, it's sort of like some things are going to work, some things will not.
Yeah, I mean, they have said, I think, like triple rocket, and there's a few things absolutely 100% will not work. But we were wondering about triple snipers. Now, Luke Smith actually mentioned a tweet, and somebody's tweeting back and forth with him. Steve and I were looking at the actual trailer reveal prior to that, and what did the guy have that was sliding in, the one that we were talking about last week, where it's like, oh, is he taking splash damage? Did he really get hit?
So Luke Smith specifically said you can rock a triple shotgun and triple grenade launch loadout, but he never said snipers. But in the stream, the guy had a sniper in his first slot and a second slot, and we know Whisper of the Worm is a power ammo slot. So technically that's three snipers.
Yeah. So I mean,
should be able to.
You should be able to. So I mean, but then the question becomes, why would you do that? So now we got a little bit of a, you know, reworking on how the ammo economy works. I do like that stuff and how it's labeled. So Steven, again, if you can explain to the people what is now happening, because it is a little bit confusing when you have all these different shotguns or whatever in a bunch of different slots.
Yeah. So I was trying to explain to Fran earlier. It's kind of confusing, but once you understand it, it's not confusing at all. Basically, your first slot weapon or your kinetic slot, what it used to be, are weapons that can take special or white ammo, but they don't have any elemental burns. Your second slot are all weapons that can take special or white ammo, but they have to have elemental burns.
Must have burn.
Yes. Like, for instance, Uriel's Gift has an elemental burn. It can't be in your first slot, but it takes primary ammo. You can have a shotgun that takes special ammo, but with no burn, so it would be in your first slot.
Yes. And the big thing I kept bringing up, because we'd played a little bit at E3, and I just, again, we weren't sure, but now I think we know it's not like you can have two of the same weapon. And
no.
They are designed for these slots, effectively.
Each weapon has its own slot.
Yeah, and that was the biggest thing for me to mentally get over. I mean, again, I think we kind of knew, but just like, it's not that you can just put that shotgun anywhere.
Yeah.
In fact, like, it's funny, I was talking to some people about the Achelous weapons, and I think there's this idea that you can go out, get maybe three of those shotties, and just rock them in all slots, but it doesn't seem like that's going to work.
No, that is not.
Unless they do something to allow that. So
yeah.
Yeah, the ammo thing I think is really good. Now that we've actually got a chance to see how it works in PvP, those are some of my biggest questions at E3, right? Like, okay, this is now a special brick. Is that going to apply to all shotguns? And for the most part, it seems like it did, because when I had shotgun in my primary slot at Gambit, and I'm calling it a primary slot. They're calling it kinetic.
Right. Same terminology.
Same terminology. And so that's a challenge. I was like, oh, I have a shotgun in my primary. Is that going to take white ammo, the primary bricks? And it doesn't. And for the most part, I think the way they've done it with having a little icon, a badge like that shows up, is a really smart way to do it. But we were also noticing, like, when you die now, you get ammo just coming back to life.
Yeah. When you die, you drop green ammo. Yeah. And when you kill someone, they drop green ammo. And you don't have to, like, hold X or hold F or whatever to pick it up like power ammo. You just walk over it. And every time you walk over a special ammo box, you get two.
Yes.
You get two rounds. But if you're holding two weapons that both take special ammo, it splits 1-1.
That's what I was going to say. So imagine you have a kinetic kinetic slot
shotgun.
Energy shotgun.
Yes.
So no burn.
Uh-huh.
In the first slot. In the second slot, you do have a burn shotgun. It's got elemental damage.
Both also, take
so they both take green. Two shotguns, they both take green. And I have a power ammo shoddy.
So power is still purple.
Right.
Yeah.
But just to explain it, what happens when I walk over a special ammo brick that you dropped?
Each shotgun, besides your power shotgun, gets one round.
Oh, they each get one.
Yes.
Okay.
It splits the two. And when you spawn after dying, you spawn with two. But if you're rocking two like you're talking about previously, it splits. Right. So you'll spawn with 1-1-0.
So if I just had a kinetic regular hand cannon that didn't take
you'll
energy.
You'll have your hand cannon and then two shotgun rounds.
But I would get two rounds into my shotgun.
Correct.
Now what if I have an energy kinetic hand cannon in the top slot? Each just get one. Like, how's that work for a
hand cannon? Cannons are always going to take white ammo.
They're not going to be any energy. Okay.
Yeah.
Auto
rifles, pulse rifles, hand cannons.
Special bricks are only going to be two.
Like shotgun, snipers, fusion rifles.
Okay. Yeah. So you're never going to run into a situation like that.
So it's interesting, right? Yeah. Like, since you've played Destiny 1, I would say it's harder for those people who have that memory and history of Destiny 1, because your brain is still trying to adapt to it a little bit.
Yeah.
So
you're stuck on old ways. That's the thing. It's not
for sure.
Like, it's complicated once you get it, but it's shaking this old feeling.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's what it is. And that'll be happening a lot. Like, there's a bunch of things that we'll have to shake now. Two melees versus three. There's a lot of conversation on that. So, I mean, Fran, are you excited about getting shoulder charge? Because that's going to be one hit with the
Titan
again.
That's one hit melee, which is very different than two. So,
but that's an ability. That's an ability.
So I am okay with the shoulder charge as it does not revert to what it was when I was complaining about it originally, which was that thing was doing dead stops in dead air or mid air and just like taking 90-degree turns. Like, it was very OP. They fixed it. and brought it back, if you remember, I think, even. But anyway, I'm okay with shoulder charge. Well, you can't turn out of midair.
There's a cooldown on it now, too. So it's not like Destiny 1. You can't use it an unlimited amount of times, you know. So I think that is the nice balance.
It's exciting. I mean, yeah, are we talking about the lethality overall anywhere in the show?
Yes, for 100%. So that was the next thing. But, I mean, what do you feel about this change? Because this is a pretty big change. Steve and I have talked about when you're playing PvP and you're getting in those, like, 1v, you know, 2 or whatever close-up matches, the 3 melee system does not feel great up close. And I think 2 melee system, as well as some of these lethality increases, will feel a lot better in the game. What do you think?
Yeah. Initially, when Destiny 2 first came out and they went from 2 melees to 3 melees, I was not a huge fan. But once I started to get used to it, I could see why they did it. They want to promote gunplay.
Yeah.
Like in Destiny 1, you just run up to someone or jump over someone, melee, they're dead, move on. And since they're bringing up the lethality of everything, that's why they're going back to the 2 melee. And I can understand why they're doing it. I don't know. If they kept the 3 melee system, I wouldn't have been opposed. But also, the 2 melee system, it probably works better with this sandbox.
Yeah. I think to your point, like, they've just got this time to kill chart now. And everything's got to come in line. And so if I can, like, triple tap you or whatever in that quick amount of time, it's going to take me more time to melee you. Like, it's going to be a problem. So presumably it was kind of, call it simple math, but they're like, it's got to be that deadly up close. So best case, stay far away.
Like right now,
get up close. Yeah.
Yeah. Like right now in Destiny 2, if you like happen to run into a Guardian and you start mailing each other, it's just going to be who meleed first.
Yes.
The smarter Guardian would shoot a little, then start mailing.
Yes.
And that's how you win that fight.
And that's what I would usually do. So I, being a Last Hope guy, have that for that reason. If I get into a little 3-round melee match with somebody, I already know, okay, I'm not going to melee. I'm going to take that hit 3 times, and I'm just going to keep Last Hoping you. And I would win those usually. So, yeah, I mean, even for me, though, I'm excited that, you know, I've always been a fan of 2 melees. I think it feels right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I will say, I've been in a lot of, like, melee fights across my Destiny years.
Yeah.
And I've not liked it that much in Destiny 2. It's not that I don't agree. It does
it just
promote
feels
some gunplay.
So different.
It feels like it just sucks sometimes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll say this, though. I've noticed that players who never played D1 are completely fine with the 3 melee system because they're not used to that 2 melee system.
Yeah.
Whereas D1 players who are like used to just like running up to people, melee, it's like coming back home again.
Yeah.
I just feel like that time to, I don't know. I don't like the 3.
It's clunky.
I definitely like the 2.
Yeah, no, I totally understand.
Well, and I'm excited to see it.
That's great. And let's talk about that. Cause now I think along with, you know, we wanted to see the 3-tap hand cannon, which, you know, ironically we did see, but in a 110 RPM archetype. I was really hoping to see that Better Devils 3-tap. I mean, I love Cosmo, but man, that was not a great example of that Icarus perk. But it was pretty hilarious cause they called him out on stream. It was actually a pretty funny moment. But yeah, Steven, we were talking a little bit about then, you know, I think the game will be a close quarter game now. There's a lot of laning and a lot of long distance range weapons, and I think that will change. You know, do you think that it's better for the game, or would you rather it be? There's a lot of people who do like Destiny 2 the way it is. Like, I'm seeing comments on people saying, oh, I can't believe they did this. You know, I liked Halo, which that's not been our take, but what are your feeling on it?
Well, So to your point of the close range game, I kind of actually disagree. I think it's going to be a healthy balance of everything. They increased the precision damage of every weapon, which was in the stream. So the 390 RPM pulse rifles almost two burst you, basically.
Yeah.
Any other damage, like a little tick of damage, they would have died to a two burst. Auto rifles, the precision multipliers increased. Obviously hand cannons can 3-tap now, but now you're spawning with snipers and stuff like that. So you can spawn up and snipe someone right away. I don't think it's all going to be just rushing shotguns and melees. I think there's going to be a pretty healthy balance.
Yeah, it's funny. I do expect to see some return to, just the Destiny 1 style. Like, you really got to watch your corners now because people are going to be sniping. And I wasn't always a fan of that, but I got to say I kind of miss it now too. So, I mean, I feel like the first thing we'll do is we'll revert to the way we played Destiny 1. But then, it's funny, you were maybe talking about it earlier, is like how it is bringing back Destiny 1. But that's not totally true, right? Because you now have this weird, like, you can have two auto rifles or you can have a hand cannon and an auto rifle, which is different.
Yep.
So it's this interesting hybrid where we get, if we want, what we needed out of Destiny 1, which is fusions that I can use a lot.
Yeah. Oh, me too. I'm super excited for that.
So, like, meaning that change immediately, hand cannon, fusion, rocket. I mean, that's what I'm saying. I'll probably go there. But next thing you know, you might end up in just this unique situation where you've got, I don't know, an SMG, a Fusion, and a rocket or something. I don't know. And so, that's different than Destiny 1.
So Steve and I watched it together. And Fran, I know you were a little bit on the other side of the office when we were watching.
Multitask.
So I always like getting that person's live reaction. So it was cool to see Steven react. What was the thing for you then during the sandbox update that you were most excited about? Maybe like a weapon combination, or what was it? You're like, okay, this is good. I'm digging that.
You mean when I saw them playing, like, what was like, oh, like that's...
What stood out to you?
Well, it's funny. The first thing that stood out to me was that pulse rifle, by the way.
Yeah.
I was like, Bygones. Woo! Yeah, it's called
Pretty
Bygones.
Dirty.
Yeah.
390 RPM.
That thing, just seeing it, I was like, oh, dang, this is more lethal.
Yep.
Like, it was shredding. Mm-hmm. So that was like a memorable moment for me. You know, outside of that, I guess because of Destiny 1, I didn't have a... Maybe you guys can tell me about some of the moments you had. I didn't have like a whoa, because it was a lot of what we expected.
Experienced it before.
Outside of that, definitely seeing the iconography of like, here's how the ammo works, the ammo economy. That was the only other thing that I was like, okay. But nothing, at least in the gameplay for me, stood out. Other than, I know we're talking about Wishender later and stuff. That was a little crazy. But I don't know. What did you guys have stuff that stood out to you? Were you like?
I mean, for me, because I'm a fusion rifle guy, and I don't know if you'll feel this way too. I think the bow will satisfy this certain gameplay style thing that I think I'll like in PvE as well as PvP. That two tap. I mean, as much as I wanted to see a three tap, because I really did want to see a clean Better Devils three tap. The use of the bow, super cool. Like, I thought that was awesome.
I think the bow is awesome. The biggest takeaway I got from the stream was, it seems like there is an actual increased skill gap coming now. And what I mean by that is,
I'm screwed.
Right now in D2, I'll give you an example. On the map Endless Veil, when the two teams spawn on both sides and there's the long like lane.
With the water and the river running through it and everything.
No, that's Endless Veil is the other one.
Oh, sorry. I was thinking Distant Shores. Yeah, Endless Veil. I know Endless what you're talking about. Yeah.
It was the beta map for PlayStation.
Yes. Yeah.
Right now, in D2, everyone just runs to that lane with pulse rifles, and you kind of just have like this laning dance.
Dude, I posted a clip. It's the one with the bulls on the right, and then you just like you just walking like, up and
that's what D2
are.
Is. I mean, I'm like, there's nothing.
Yeah, yeah. There's you team nothing, shot, you shred people.
Yeah,
down
it's
a little,
team
and then
shotting. It's like, oh, that guy's weak, bring him down. Like, but now it's like you're flanking. You see four people with their backs turned to you. Three times the first one, slide and get the shotgun kill. Maybe shades that pick up the special ammo from the first guy you killed, finish off the other two, and it's just like boom, boom, boom. Or just melee the fifth guy, and it's just like quick, fast fights. Yeah. Super excited. I'm really glad that they are incentivizing headshot damage, because when Destiny 2 first came out, I was just like, why would I ever go for four headshots with a hand cannon when I could just get the same kill with two headshots and two bodies? Like, it's the same time to kill, makes no difference. They're incentivizing headshots now, and they're giving you special ammo for killing teams or for killing players or helping kill players, so you can kind of snowball in a sense. Yeah. So I'm super excited for that.
And that was interesting to confirm too, right? Three tap is back, has two bodies and a headshot, right?
Two bodies and headshots for the 110 RPM.
For the one we saw,
the slow fire rate. And then for Better Devils, it has to be all three headshots.
Three headshots.
Yes.
That's what we think. So we're not 100% sure. I looked online and there was no concrete, okay, you can get, you know, with, cause 140 and 150 RPM are different archetype weapons. That's like Better Devils and Midnight Coup. We didn't get a chance to see any of those during the gameplay. They had a 180 RPM weapon, and that was a four tap, I think.
180 RPM, I believe, takes two headshots and two bodies for a kill.
And you can, is it mod or masterwork the range now on it?
Oh, yeah. So that's a good segue.
That's going to change.
Yes.
Yeah, that's a good segue into the
That wasn't
mods.
Intentional, if that's what.
No, it's good. So let's talk about the Better Devils. They showcased a bunch of different perks that you can now roll. On your Better Devils, there is more than one Better Devils. So they basically were saying how there was a bunch of different progression that people wanted, and this was a nice way to introduce Masterworks as well as other things, random rolls, and various perks in the weapon. So, again, what was your thought, Fran? Now you can get an infinite amount of Better Devils potentially because the perks look like they can roll in any variation.
Yeah, exactly. So they showed, what, three or so different Better Devils?
Yeah, I just had three in there. One with like range finder and what was the other stat on that?
Explosive rounds,
which that's awesome to me. I mean, they were joking like, is that the Better Devils? Is that the best
Devils?
The
best Devils.
And what were some of the other perks that they had in there?
Hip fire, moving target, outlaw's end moment. Basically every perk you can get in a weapon will be random.
Yeah.
From the sights to the mags to the two perks.
Right. So wait, that's the perks. Were we going to talk about the mods or the...
So there's mods as well in that,
but
too.
Do you want to just focus on the perk stuff right now?
Can you talk a little bit of both? Because now there's a combination of all those things. There's a lot of variation and combinations to the weapons. Yeah. Do you dig that? Are you excited about that?
Yeah. I mean, absolutely. Like, I am excited for weapons that random rolls are coming back and just some of those old, trusty perks that we liked, you know, we saw them, coming back.
Yeah.
But they're also in the form of some mods too. That's why I bring it up.
And so Yeah. Well, why don't you read through some of those? I actually listed each of the different perk breaks down as well as the masterwork and some of the mods. So if you want to, Steven, you can go through some of the perks there.
Okay. So like, for instance, some of the mods they showed off were like backup mag, increases magazine size, free hand grip, increases accuracy and ready speed while hip firing. Icarus obviously improves accuracy while airborne. Targeting adjuster, weapon gains better target acquisition, which is the hidden hand perk from D1. Radar tuner, which is interesting. This was not a D1 perk because they nerfed the radar in D2. The radar immediately returns when you stop ADSing. Right now there's a little delay. And that, so like, and there's more perks, and there's also PvE perks such as a minor spec, major spec, and boss spec, which deals extra damage against low file enemies, powerful enemies, and bosses and vehicles. Respectively. I think it's awesome that they have PvE mods as well.
Yep.
And I like the entire mod system, because what they were trying to do is they were trying to think, how can our 10th better devils be as exciting as the first better devils, right?
And Deej made the joke. I mean, they are clearly aware that this was a concern from the beginning.
And the community obviously wanted random rolls back, but they went further and they put the mods in with these legendary weapons. So every time you get a weapon, you also get a random mod, one of these mods. Maybe there's going to be more mods in Forsaken that we don't know about.
Yeah.
But now when you dismantle a Better Devils, like let's say you got a Better Devils you didn't like, but you like the mod, you can dismantle it and you get that mod back.
That's cool.
So now you're, in a sense, collecting mods
so you
as
keep
well.
That same mod doesn't necessarily.
And you can give that to a different Better Devils that you do like.
Because right now, when you're trying to configure whatever weapon you want, trying to get the extra stat perk that you're hoping for, you could potentially be investing a ton of master cores on that initial one. I think on the progress tree now, when you're upgrading it, it goes from 1 to 10. It basically is not going to charge you, I think, some of that economy until later on in the actual.
Yeah, that was a upgrade. Little.
Yeah, I'm not 100% sure how that works. Yeah. And we're not 100% sure if all this stuff is final. They even said, like, hey, you know, there's like images and stuff on the screen. These are not like 100% locked in. So there could be some final changes, but it looks like a nice path of progression that I think doesn't penalize you early on from taking too many master cores or anything like that.
It's a system that gives you that moment, like, oh yes, I finally got this gun, or I finally got that mod.
Yeah. And I think depending on what are some of the attributes for investing into it, I mean, I didn't miss the having to collect shards in the raids and doing all that stuff to level up your weapons. You'd sometimes get a barrier where you just couldn't do it unless you actually did the raids with people. And I think this was a nice way to circumvent that. It's still, like you said, is a nice level up progression path, but it seems like it's going to be mostly glimmer or things that you can do not related to a specific activity. Again, the solo players that we talk about, sometimes they're not able to do raids. So I think that was some of the reason why they got rid of, you know, ascended shards and things like that that were barriers to upgrading weapons in Destiny 1.
They still might have that for raid weapons. This is just
maybe
legendary weapons in general.
The thing I was trying to still wrap my head around, though, so if like Icarus and the version of Hidden Hand and Counterbalance are now mods, let me just save them up. How does that work? Like, so they're not perks, those items anymore.
No,
like,
they're mods.
Icarus is no longer a perk. Hidden Hand, target, what's it called? Adjuster. Yeah. How do they rename this stuff, man? Like, it's a little different, but I'm like, just call it.
I know.
Now it's funny. I say, instead of Firefly, I do say Dragonfly now, but.
Gotcha.
Very confusing, man, if it's basically the same. Anyway, so wait, Counterbalance, Icarus, Hidden Target Adjuster are not. They're random, but then once you have the mod, you can transfer around. So in other words, like, are we going to have the feeling that we had with, say, like a perfect IS Luna, so to speak, a god roll? Or are they meeting us in between? Is that what's going on, do you think?
Well, so for the random roll part, you're still grinding for that perfect roll. Like, let's say you want rangefinder and explosive rounds, right? But then you take a step further and, like, now you have to go, oh, I got to grind more weapons to get that mod I want. Yeah. So it fits the narrative of spending more time playing the game, and it also fits the narrative of how you want to play. You can customize that. For like, for instance, I was telling CJ uses a controller where where aim assist matters more than a mouse and keyboard, correct? So maybe controller users would prefer hidden hand over maybe like a stability perk that mouse and keyboard users want to use. For instance, and for like sniper rifles, I would love to have that, the radar tuner, mod for it. Cause you want to quickly ADS and see your radar right when you un-ADS. Things like that. And you can also have like a PVE loadout with these PVE mods.
Yeah, totally. No, I mean, I think I like where they're going. I was just kind of asking, like, is it going to be easier to get the god roll now? Because there's a couple things you can just hold on to. I've got some counterbalance, but we don't know how frequently they drop. And
well, that's the thing.
Other things like that.
I think the god roll chase is still there within the context of when the actual weapon rolls with whatever perks that it's on. And then from there, you can further make the weapon your own. And I think a lot of that's going to tailor to what type of activity you want to play. I think if you play PvE or PvP, maybe you'll have a weapon of both depending on what activity you like and what weapon you want to play with that activity. So
I said this at the start of D2. In D2, you get legendary engrams all the time. You get loot all the time. Basically, when you finish the campaign, you almost have every weapon that you kind of want, right? With that drop rate, along with random rolls, I've always said that would have been maybe not a perfect system, but it would have been a better system. In D1, they had random rolls, but you couldn't have access to as many drops and rewards. So it felt like a really tedious grind. Mm-hmm. Whereas in D1 or D2, it feels like they just handed out like candy. Once you got a better devils, you're done, right?
Yeah.
Now that you get crucible engrams and legendary engrams basically all the time, you can chase god rolls more frequently.
Yeah. And to your other point earlier too, you might just be chasing a counterbalance mod. And so you might get some gun you don't care about with the counterbalance mod. You're like playing a public heroic, which I'm doing right now. It's driving me nuts for this green armor. But anyway, I have no point to do it right now, really.
Yeah.
But now you might be in a situation where, oh, I got my counterbalance mod. Now I can finish my god roll. So yeah, maybe we'll feel like that need to check your drops a lot more.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It does feel like it is going to be that now.
So. Yeah. And I think overall it was really good. So moving on to sort of the next topic, which flows in line with that, is that, you know, what are some of the things that are now going to be removed that people enjoy? And there was a conversation online between a Twitter user by the name of, I think it's SleepDet, who's asking, hey guys, the stream was great, changes look incredible, elemental damage wasn't addressed, will we still be able to change elements, or is it a part of the roll drop now? At which point Josh Hamrick actually ended up replying, yes, the functionality is being removed. So Stephen, we were talking about that. That is definitely something now that you were hoping would stay in the game, and it's being removed. So that changes how people, I think, play the game. Because I actually like that, where you could have various different arc and elemental damage types with the weapon. So,
well, to clarify more, once Forsaken comes out, collections will come out.
Right.
And those rolls, random rolls cannot be obtained from collections. So if you have a Uriel's Gift and you sharded it already and you want to go back and get it in your collections, it will always be tap the trigger, high caliber rounds, and will always be maybe solar. Like they haven't said what it will be, but it will always be solar.
And I think we knew that potentially all the things were going to stay, all the perks would stay the same.
Yes.
But because the mod system incorporated being able to mod it in void and
elemental
solar,
damage.
We would assume that, oh, okay, that was just going
to
stick around.
Yeah, I was just trying to use the example you used earlier, which is you might already have three different Uriel's Gift already just with different mods in it. So you can use solar, arc, or void.
Mm-hmm.
What's going to happen now, though, is do they just like reset to all solar or something?
So I believe you have to already have the gun, and you have to put the mod on, and then you have to keep it throughout.
Oh, so season. It might keep the mod that you have on it.
It will keep the elemental, I believe.
Oh, really? But see, that's where things are like coming together. But
It
implies, though, that – let me use a different example. I don't have three silicon aromas from the Nightfall,
yes,
okay?
Exactly.
Awesome sniper. I love being able to use that gun and change it from void to whatever just for the quest.
Mm-hmm.
And that's an awesome thing to be able to do. It sounds like that could be going away.
It is going away.
I know.
And I completely agree with you. And I'm not a fan of this change at all. I think it's a step backwards, especially since the whole narrative is – play how you want to play.
Yeah.
I love using the EP shotgun, for example.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
If the Nightfall is void heavy or solar heavy or arc heavy, I will change the mod in my EP shotgun. Now you cannot do that. And I just feel like it's restricting and shoehorning your loadouts in a sense.
I see an argument for both sides. Like, I agree with you. I really like it. The idea that my Silicon Aroma, which let's just assume there's nothing that cool in the next Forsaken, which there probably will be, but that I really want to use it, that it suddenly I'm like, well, it's not really the right elemental. It's going to kind of suck, but I could see the argument for going back to the D1 style. Like, you trying to get away from using the same weapons all the time.
Yeah.
Like, you have to put away some of your weapons sometimes. Be like, well, I can't use this amazing, you know, rocket because it's just dark. I got to use this other one. And it does change your playstyle.
I see, yeah, to your point, I see the arguments for both sides. Like, maybe a scout rifle that only drops in solar, they want you to use it for solar activities, but why can't I just use my Uriel's gift for solar?
Like, look at one quick last example, Fatebringer.
Yep. Well, right? I was just about to bring Fatebringer up. Like, that's the one. And then in year three, when they brought it back as only an exotic, it was still under the ramification of, oh, that's taking up that slot, so they could control what it was.
But that's a great example. Like, we all loved Fatebringer. You probably used it anyway, because it was so good, but it was arc, right?
Yep.
So, if it was solar, you just wouldn't use it. And I actually, there's some merit to it. Crota's Word, Void, and so on. So there, I have these fond memories of elemental only.
When you think certain Fatebringer, you think Arc.
Yeah, so I don't know. Maybe we just got to go try it again. But I agree. I have concerned.
I mean, I'll try it out, of course. But I think as of now, this is a step backwards. And I wish they would have kept your freedom to choose what kind of elemental you could play.
Well, and that's what I was wondering. And they basically – he kind of was talking back and forth. Josh Hamrick was online with a couple people and basically was saying starting September 4th, we'll be locked to a specific damage type and there will be no way to change that moving forward for the year one weapons that are in the collection.
Mm-hmm. So
exotic behaviors, found on things like Borealis and Harlight will remain unchanged. What's not clear, though, is if you have three of them, what is it going to keep? And you're making it sound like you think it's good. If you have an arc, you're going to keep it arc.
I don't think so.
Yeah, I think if you have an arc and a void and then, you know,
solar,
that ultimately they're going to make a decision and go, hey, you know what? Uriel's gift is now solar.
Yeah.
Because it allows them to control the sandbox meta.
I believe
in
Josh
the PvP
Hamrick,
and PvP space.
I believe Josh Hamrick confirmed to a different Twitter user that. That was not the case.
Okay, and so that's what I mean. All this stuff's very new. We're the day after, and so this is some of what I love about these streams and reveals. There's always this exploration. There's a bunch of people tweeting. They're doing great at, I think, trying to answer as many questions as possible.
Yeah.
But it does as many questions as that stream answered, there's now 50 million more that we're addressing and that people are asking.
Basically,
so it's
basically, if you only have one copy of a weapon you like, choose your favorite element now.
And hope for the best.
And hope for the best.
Yeah.
Good point. Disclaimer, like you keep saying.
Yes.
We recorded this days early. So if some of this has been answered already, well,
yes.
Now you know why we seem confused. But it's just
I mean, and that's the thing. Even Destin was tweeting out there, you know, I guess I'll stock up on the guns I like now and give them the damage modifiers I like.
Right.
You know, this is a peek into why vault space could become an issue. If we have three Uriels today and give each a different damage soul and arc, will they stay that way September 4th?
I'm with you, man. That'd be wild. And who knows, maybe. But I'm with you where I'm like, it just doesn't seem to make sense. Like, what, I got punished because I didn't have three and I didn't save all that stuff?
Yeah.
Like, kind of sucks for me if there's like 50,000 players out there who have this, you know, this archetype.
What I keep leaning back to is, you know, I talk about wanting an exotic IS Luna. Actually, I would really just like a really good legendary one.
Yes.
But if you think about Palindrome and all these other hand cannons that we really like year two and three, you know, those we don't know if they exist yet. And I mean, after I got IS Luna, I didn't care about Fatebringer.
Yeah.
I mean, I still wish that it was there from a nostalgic standpoint, but I think there's something to be said about they'll introduce probably way better weapons.
Yeah.
And it'll be nice for a collection standpoint, but then nobody will care.
That's a good point, too. So. Let's say, oh, boohoo, I didn't save my special mods for the elemental type, and I'm mad because Steven has something that I don't.
Yeah.
But then there will probably be all these new amazing guns, hopefully. Yeah. So.
But it'll be interesting. We'll see what happens.
But, it's a counterpoint. When those amazing weapons do come out, they're only shoehorned into one element.
Yes,
so
but
you run into that problem again.
Yeah, but to me, it's a balance update thing. So, what would you rather? Rather have these, you know, primary element and power weapons that can all kind of allow you to have shotguns and everything in a bunch of different slots, or would you rather have it the way it was with elementals? Because it seems like you're trading off one or the other.
I'm just like, don't understand why you can't have both.
I agree with you.
If the narrative is play how you want to play, and I want to play with the guns I want to play, I should use whatever element I want on it, whatever weapon I want.
Yeah.
We have to go
in
a second to the next topic, but that's a good point. Yeah. I mean, that tell us what you think in the comments because that one's getting some traction right now. Mm-hmm. Last thing, there was a trailer just released, the Dreaming City trailer. A bunch of nice little lore nuggets in there as well. Mm. We got a chance to check it out just a little while ago. Fran, first impressions, what did you see in there? What really caught your eye and that you liked?
Mm, lore nuggets.
Steven
like
knew
one?
I was going to say lore
nuggets.
Oh,
there you go. All right, that's fair.
Making me hungry. 10-piece lore nuggets looked tasty.
It was a lot of lore nuggets.
So, yeah.
It's rare, though.
The trailer was really awesome. Nice cut, long trailer, a couple minutes long, and really finally gave me the sense that Dreaming City is like dreadnought-sized and bigger or whatever. It's big. Raid entrance seems to be there.
Yep.
Seems huge. And then, there's just like a ton going on in there. The puzzles to solve thing really stood out to me that they seem to be more than ever. They want this space to be – I'm reflecting on the current Whisper of the Worm.
Yeah.
That was called?
Yeah, Whisper of the Worm.
Yep, that's a weird name. Everybody still calls it Black
Spindle. Black Spindle.
Trips me up.
Exactly.
Black but I'm – exact Black Handle. Black Hammer. We screwed it up, everybody. Shut the show down. But I'm thinking about that quest they just released, and they really went out of their way to make that like puzzly and interesting. So anyway, that stands out to me that I think there's going to be a lot to do there, you know, till we're done after the first month or month and a half. But still, super excited, actually. Yeah. It was a cool trailer. Before this, I'm like, I want to go to the Dreaming City, but I – just because it's a new space, but now I'm like actually really excited to see it.
Yeah, I mean, they're making some huge claims there, you know, like massive raid and, you know, the largest ever.
Largest raid.
Yeah, stuff like that. And I mean, I keep on thinking, okay, so if we graded our raids at Guardian Con. I actually liked Vault of Glass. To me, Vault of Glass was about the right size for a raid. A bunch of people said King's Fall was actually their second favorite raid. So King's Fall was probably, the longest raid, biggest raid Destiny's ever done. If it's longer than King's Fall, are you guys gonna dig that?
So you
want Steven Rue wants long, massive, lot of bosses, huge raid.
Yeah.
Like you're into that.
I think I can safely say it's popular opinion that more Destiny players prefer the mini boss format than the challenge
Of Leviathan.
Leviathan.
Yeah.
Yep.
Like I can see people are like, we need more bosses, et cetera.
That's the world I see is take some of those bosses out of whatever, King's Fall, mix it with a couple of the puzzle things that we saw in even Leviathan, and now maybe extend it just a tad. So you get a little of both. But ultimately that I get my Golgoroth back, that I get the War Priest, that I get, you know, these big fights.
Yeah, I'm super excited. Like, so can I talk more about this trailer?
I was going to say, so Steven has the lore nuggets. There was a couple things in there specifically.
So this entire trailer, it was cut beautifully. I think it was awesome. The music was awesome. But it was so cool because you saw, it's either Tetchen or Tekken. I don't know how to say it, properly, but I'm going to say Tetchen. You saw Tetchen, advisors. They're Queen Marisov's personal advisors. Hmm. And the first time we saw them and the last time we saw them were in the opening cutscene of Taken King when she's taking on Oryx. She has three advisors behind her and they do that like blast. I don't know what the heck that was.
Yeah.
But it's assumed that they all die, right? And there's seven total in lore. So if the three are dead and they died to Oryx's Taken Blast, and in the trailer they were taken, one could assume that maybe the raid boss is the Queen, like the Taken version of the Queen. That ties into the story of why maybe Aldrin is pissed. There's like so many little nuggets in that trailer that I loved. And as a PvE player and a PvP player, I was super pumped. And they tease something called the Blind Well. I don't know if you saw that.
Yeah, where they're jumping in the center.
All these
guards
are jumping into this well, and it looks like a horde mode.
Yeah.
Like there's just like all kinds of enemies flying in, and you're just surviving. And they
Court of Oryx style.
Yeah, they showed some weapons that you can earn and stuff like that. It's just, to me, it just seems so cool, that entire like landscape, like the Lord of the Rings kind of landscape.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm super pumped for it.
I think that's for me too. Like, I think one of the things about the first couple raids, I like that they were incorporated kind of in zones of Destiny 1 so that you actually got to them, you know, from a place you saw before versus Destiny 2 is mostly you flew to Leviathan. It was disconnected.
Yeah,
from
you
the
could
kind of
see it in like the, in the sky.
In the distance. Yeah.
But it was kind of disconnected.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think Axis was the only raid where there was not a social hub that you were able to explore prior to getting into the raid. Like with the Axis raid, you just landed. Taken King, Dark Below, Atheon all had moments from basically a patrol zone that you launched into the raid from there. You guys think that'll happen?
Well, King's Fall did it?
Yeah. King's Fall was the opening, and basically it was a part in a Dreadnought. Like you actually like
man,
did
I
it.
Am so blanking yeah. out on
I was like,
part.
Wait, didn't you just drop in the King's
No, no, 100%. There was a moment basically where you're doing the challenges. This is where Court of Oryx was.
God, I got it.
Yeah, and then you go behind and there's like
portals. Because yeah, like Crota's End, yeah. obviously you jump into Vault of Glass. Yeah. You drive through.
Game Informer did do their monthly coverage of D2 and I read a little bit. I didn't want to get spoiled, but.
Same.
After the campaign, I believe you go to the Dreaming City
yeah.
and you do some 3-man fireteam events to unlock the Dreaming City, and then that's where the end game gotcha. Appears.
So that's what I'm excited about. I'm excited for this campaign, and we've talked about this multiple times, where I think you feel an attachment to the Dark Below and Taken King because they hyped up a boss fight within those campaigns, and you felt like they were connected to the actual story. That feels like that's what the Dreaming City is going to be, yeah. so... I'm super excited.
Yeah. Do I still expect you to scan an item with a ghost and kill 5 ways? Yes, I do. So I expect
just to get started.
Weird, cheesy lines. Yes, I do. But I do think that this campaign will be the best one that we've seen in Destiny history yet. Mm. And I think the
Steven.
The Dreaming City will give us at least, I'm going to say maybe a month worth of new content. Like every reset, a new riddle will appear.
Gotcha.
New secret quest.
So like time and events the way this,
And like, I don't know about you guys, but I remember when Vault of Glass first came out, I spent hours in there just looking for things. Like I would check every corner, and I feel like, the Dreaming City has the potential to be like that again.
Yeah.
Sets us up for that expectation. I'm hoping that too, because they said like the most, they said riddled with puzzles and stuff.
Yeah.
They really seem to be leaning. Yeah.
And lore.
Riddled with lore nuggets.
Lore nuggets for you to find everywhere. I think that's about it. Unless you guys have any other comments.
No.
I think we're done for
today.
There's
always more to talk about, but.
There is always more to talk about, but that's about it for now. So I guess, this is where I gotta prepare for the outro.
Don't just say it.
Don't just say it.
You gotta give us all time.
I gotta give right. I think we're done, everybody. So until next time,
Guardians out.
Hey there, this is Justin Bartha. I made a funny new podcast, King of the Egg Cream. It has the greatest cast in the history of podcasts with actors like Louis Black.
I'm torn by my feelings for two women.
Bobby Cannavale.
You can eat it, or if someone hits you, you can put it on your cut.
Melanie Lynskey.
I wonder what these marvelous things are that look just like boiled chicken feet.
Jason Ritter.
I can break things and pick locks and kill people.
Michael Stuhlbarg.
The whole point is to inspire people that they should make themselves better.
Ari Grainer.
No, don't whet its appetite. What are you, an idiot?
Me, Justin Bartha.
That's not just any egg cream, that's a Lemke's special.
And all narrated by the hilarious Richard Kind.
This is the story of Harry Dalowitz. And how he rose from nothing to become New York's King of the Egg Cream.
So if you like funny true stories, come listen to King of the Egg Cream, available wherever you get your podcasts.